It's Here and Now. That grace founded on 2/3 a person. Rapings and beatings and suffering that worsens. Black human packages tied up in strings. Black rage can come from all these kinds of things. That's rap icon Lauryn Hill singing her song Black Rage. Black rage is founded on blatant denial, squeeze economics, subsistence survival, deafening silence and social control. Black rage is founded on wounds in the soul. Hill's been performing Black Rage since 2012, but never released a recording of it until this week, following events in Ferguson, Missouri. Other hip-hop artists have also released new songs about the shooting death of Michael Brown, but some of music's biggest stars have not. So joining us with more is Tricia Rose. She's director of Brown University's Center for the Study of Race and Ethnicity in America and author of The Hip-Hop Wars. Tricia Rose, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, what's your reaction to this song?
This is amazing, and I think it's just an incredibly elegant, powerful, and passionate explanation of how rage among community members can't be understood in isolated ways. This one person has this issue with this thing, but that there's a whole community that's in serious crisis and suffering and enraged about its treatment from a variety of institutions, the police being the most visible and violent, but not the only one. And by reversing Rodgers and Hammerstein's favorite things, you really get a sense of possibility, even though she's talking about so much darkness. And it's just a really brilliant song.
Now, Lauryn Hill has always had a deep political streak in her music, even before her days with the Fugees. So maybe it's no surprise that she's going to have a song like this for this moment. But do you think hip-hop artists in general have a responsibility to speak out in times of racial tension and crisis?
You know, I think one of artists' fundamental jobs across genres is to really create an alternative way of understanding reality that enables a community in a creative way. And that's true of all music. It needn't be protest music per se, right? So hip-hop doesn't have a protest responsibility, but it does have, it seems to me, if it's in keeping with every other genre of African-American music, it has a responsibility to speak about the community's collective consciousness and circumstances in some way. Mm. And there's been a real relinquishing of that responsibility as commercial mainstream hip-hop has become more and more disengaged from the stories about literal black life when it's difficult and when it's struggling, you know, various kinds of violence and pain and suffering. There's been quite a bit of movement toward a certain kind of glamorization that sells more, that titillates non-white and white audiences. And that, I think, has really reduced the sort of potency of hip-hop overall. Now, that said, you know, there are many, many artists in the underground and local artists who do more of this type of work. But when you think about commercial mainstream hip-hop and the top 10 MCs, you're really looking at a just kind of political evacuation.
Mm. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But I wanted to listen to another song that was recently released by a hip-hop artist. This is from Grammy-nominated J. Cole, and he put out a song dedicated to Michael Brown less than a week after the shooting. And then he actually took a trip to Ferguson to walk with protesters. So this is the song. It's called Be Free. Don't just stand around. Don't just stand around. As we took off running, I ducked and hid for my life because I was fearing for my life. And I hid by the first car that I saw. My friend, he kept running. And he told me to keep running because he feared for me too. Tricia Rose, so does it matter that some of the top-tier hip-hop artists like Jay-Z or Kanye West haven't really spoken out yet? If we're getting really emotionally searing songs from Grammy-nominated artists like J. Cole?
Well, listen, I mean, this is a wonderful thing. I'm really happy that he has an impetus to really try to talk about this kind of pain. But at the same time, I think it really does matter if huge swaths of fans are going to spend money, time, and energy and all of their sort of social resources tracking Jay-Z's every move and Kanye West's every move and their consumption patterns and the cars they buy and the, you know, the way they travel the world, then I think it does become important to say, well, wait a minute, you know, you want our time, energy, and money when it comes to your consumption. Well, do you, you know, it seems to me, owe us a little bit of, you know, insight and commentary or a little bit of resource allocation toward collecting collective black suffering. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean he has that's the only response that he or either of them should give, but I think it's important. And I think they have taken up a lot of bandwidth in the cultural imagination. And the question is, well, what has their music done with that bandwidth?
Okay, well, in the past, though, I mean, Jay-Z did have a song about the shooting of Trayvon Martin, and obviously Kanye West has had a lot of political threads in his music. And I wonder, maybe 6 months or a year down the line, they'll come out with songs about their reflections on this moment in Ferguson. And maybe that's okay because, you know, this might be a stretch, but I'm thinking about in the civil rights movement where initially folks like Nina Simone, say, who had long felt very passionately about racial injustice, she didn't immediately put it in her music. But now, 50 years later, we look upon some of her songs as iconic songs of the civil rights movement.
You know, Nina Simone, there was a social movement that artists were both part of and helped sustain and enable with their musical and, you know, cultural credibility. And I worry that if there were a serious social movement to develop, just how much mainstream, highly commercial hip-hop artists would respond. Would they be on the front lines of that movement? What would we be able to expect? Mm-hmm. I think it's a fair question.
Well, let's listen to another song that's recently been put out. This is from MC Keem. He's a local St. Louis artist who just put a song out about what's going on in Ferguson. It's called Frontline. Let's listen.
We direct some aim, some cases can bite it down. Let's not get distracted, this here's for Mike Brown. But hey, you see the news, bruh, looking like Fallujah. 4 days later, they still ain't named the shooter. We just want the truth, bruh.
That song, Trisha, makes me think about how back in the 80s, really powerful hip-hop groups like Public Enemy and NWA, in a way, defined themselves by singing about another wave of police brutality. How does the music that we're hearing now differ from what we heard then?
Hip-hop in the 1980s and early 90s was not a juggernaut of commercial profit, right? There was a sense of kind of community responsibility that, you know, what we say and what we do matters, right? What we emphasize, what we educate about, what we encourage people to think about matters. Hip-hop at that moment was able to do more of that kind of work because it was not first and foremost a product for corporate music industry companies. And that's really what hip-hop is right now for the most part. Unless you're talking about this kind of deep underground / local nonprofit almost way of doing hip-hop, that's where the energy hopefully will come from. It's not going to come top-down, but I'm hoping that by it being a big groundswell that there's more challenge to what happens in the mainstream rather than aspiration to be part of that mainstream.
Trisha Rose is director of the Center for the Study of Race and Ethnicity in America at Brown University and author of The Hip Hop Wars. Professor Rose, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure.
All we want to do is take the chains off. All we want to do is break the chains off. Hey. All we want to do is be free. All we want to do is be free.
You're listening to Here and Now.